You made it. It's a Friday morning. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, buddy.
What's going on, female buddy?
Doing good, buddy.
All right, 71 degrees right now. Going to get up into the high 70s,
yeah.
But that's not what we should worry about.
What are we worried about?
The storms are coming.
Rain.
Yes, exactly. It's starting drizzling right now, depending on where you are. We got rain, and more rain. I'd finish your arc before noon.
All right, it's from the hurricane, huh?
Yes, Hurricane...
Debbie.
Is it Debbie?
Debbie.
Spelled weird.
Oh.
Is that like a Florida way to spell Debbie?
I think so. It probably is.
Debbie. We are on flood watch in our area. Now, most of the... What?
It's spelled Debbie.
Okay, that's what I thought.
E-B-B-Y.
Debbie. You start saying Debbie. Debbie. It's spelled weird with an E and a B and a couple of B's and an I and an E. They are warning everybody, places that are known to flood,
yep.
Just a heads up before you go there. Like, get a good look before you drive into where it's going.
Yes.
Which sucks, because I have to go to, like, the most flood spot in the world today.
Where's that?
Well, you know, the boxing gym I go to is on Atlantic.
Oh, yeah.
It's that little dip.
Yeah. Underneath where the, what is that, Price Right? Underneath the bridge there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, like, yeah. That one floods a lot.
That
yeah.
is the ultimate flood spot in Rochester. That and the bridge next to the Record Archive and the East Ave Wegmans there. Like, if you got to get to where you're going, bring a canoe.
All right.
I lived over on Winton. It's like, the only way to get to my apartment back in the day was through that flood bridge.
Yeah.
And, like, Kimmy, it would just drizzle, and all of a sudden there's, like, 5 feet
it
of water
fast.
In that thing. It's brutal.
And, and you can't turn around.
Yes. And as we learned in Canandaigua season, you drive into those things, it can get real bad for you real fast, where you get, like, swept away.
You ain't from the South.
Thank you.
Only Southern men can drive through water.
Well, them and the
Danny's. Any water they see. I got a cousin drove all the way to Bahamas.
So be careful today, and just keep an eye out where you're driving.
Right.
Speaking of car issues, Tommy, I want to talk about a story that happened a couple of days ago we haven't had a chance to get to. On Tuesday, the city of Rochester had a vehicle stolen. It's a city of Rochester vehicle.
Okay. Like a car, they say? Or a truck, or what?
Doesn't
car.
Did it say car? It said city vehicle. I don't know if it specified.
I got it right here. It's a city-owned 2012 Chevy Cruze.
Okay.
Ooh, sweet ride.
So you got that going for
mm-hmm.
you. According to police, an employee was driving the car when he stepped out to check on street lighting in the area of Dewey and Kingsbury Street.
So he's working.
Yeah.
All right.
Unfortunately, it sounds like he didn't turn the car off.
That kind of makes sense, though. If you're, like, in and out of your car constantly doing stuff.
Like, leave it to Eastside Ass. To be, like, all the people that get their cars stolen from that gas station in Bushnell's Basin.
Yeah. I was in and out, though.
I was just going in to get my coffee.
I don't. Do you
my showboat.
When you get gas, do you turn off your keys?
Yes.
No, I leave my car on.
When you're getting gas, you idiot?
You know what? I was always scared as a kid. Like, if you left it on, it could explode.
It will explode. It's what it says on the thing. God, you're such an arrogant prick.
No, but if I'm in a job where I'm constantly in and out of my car doing that, I'm guessing I'm not going to, like, turn the car off,
turn it
neutral, No, you jump in and out.
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of hard to jump back into your car when it's not there anymore. While the car was running, somebody jumped in and took off with the car. Police say the theft is under investigation now.
Man.
So we don't have an update to this. That car is still maybe on the run, which is funny because it says, I'm assuming it says City of Rochester.
It has to have some kind of credentials on it, right?
Like, I don't know. I mean, who knows if the car thief saw that it was a City of Rochester vehicle, right? I don't know if you would be excited that you stole a City of Rochester vehicle because it's kind of funny, or if you're like, oh, no, what have I done because it's a City of Rochester vehicle.
Yeah. You also know it's not really a great car.
2012 Chevy Cruze?
That thing is... beat to hell. If that's a 2012 city vehicle, that thing is beat to hell.
A 14-year-old city vehicle.
Yeah, they really take care of those vehicles.
They left it running while he was looking at himself. Of course
they treat those cars like a Tampa Bay rental car.
Oh, you talking about go to the front desk and see Dammy, rent me a car?
Dammy Randall?
So here's the thing. If this was a story where the guy got out of his car, locked it, went to go look at the light, turned around, somebody smashed the window and stole the car, nothing you could do there.
Yeah.
Right? But... what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, stupidity is too harsh. Lack of awareness, right, is what led to the car getting stolen. So, Kimmy, is this guy in trouble?
I mean, I would think I know you're a victim of a crime, but I would think, like, you're responsible for that. Part of your job is being responsible for that vehicle.
Remove the car keys at all times and put your car in park
and
apply the emergency brake.
I would imagine that... at some point, you know, in training, that had to come up.
Yeah, like don't leave the car running.
Don't leave the car running, or don't leave the keys in the car. I don't know.
You know, like all of the things. It sounds like.
Like I don't know if they're going to fire you over it, but I would imagine like you're somebody's going to have to talk to you.
I don't get why you're so upset with doing normal human stuff.
Because I got busted one time by the Brighton parking and code enforcement guy.
For what?
So I was so important to the show when I first started. It was my job to go get breakfast. Okay. So they would order their breakfast, and I, before you know all these delivery services, I would jump in my car, run across the street, and get the chow.
Oh,
right?
You're talking about Tommy Eats.
Tommy Eats. So I pull into Fox's Delicatessen, jump out of the car real quick. They always had it in a box waiting for me. So all I had to do was get out. It was already paid for. Pick it up, put it in my car, bring it back. So I don't
paid for it.
But you know, Wheez eats for free. It's a Jewish delicatessen. He's a Jewish host. I get it. So. I get the bagels and locks and everything. I go walking out to my car. There's a code enforcement. I'm not out of that car a minute. There's a guy parked next to my car with the pad out. I go, what's going on? He goes, first of all, you pulled up to the curb. I go, yeah, but it's a loading zone. I said, yeah.
Wait.
So go, not only did you leave your car on, but mm-hmm. you weren't even in a space you're supposed to park in.
Doors open, the whole thing.
It had nothing to do with leaving the car on. You were parked in a place you weren't supposed to be.
How about he drove over a handicapped person to get there?
So yeah, like he wrote me that ticket like immediately. And it was not a cheap ticket, man, because I got like three infractions at once.
I'm failing.
It's probably a place where people do that all the time, so
constantly.
They're probably ready for it.
They are, and nobody got it.
It's to stop people from doing it all the time.
It's 6 o'clock in the morning. The parking lot is completely empty.
Wouldn't that be when they like unload things?
Right, pick things up.
No, but you're also making yourself sound more like a dick because you said there's nobody. You could have parked anywhere else.
No, but I'm working.
Oh, no, you're not.
I am working for WCMF. I am picking up food for the host. I'm credentialed here.
No, you're not.
I should. I am.
I'm failing to understand.
I have
why
a one-page contract with these people.
I'm failing to understand why you think you were shafted here.
Because I was picking up a delivery from one place to the other.
You broke every law possible.
I'm the middle guy. So what? So Amazon and the guy that delivers the beer, he says we're all the same guy.
So wait. So Wheez told you to park in that spot?
Yeah, he would.
Like, you're such a privileged-ass bitch. Like, I hate people like you. Like, we had that conversation yesterday. Again,
Pat, I followed rules.
Well, am I just paranoid where I've never thought, like, I'll leave my car on here because I'll only be a minute.
No,
like, 60 seconds feels like a long time when your car's sitting there empty with the doors unlocked.
It is a long time. You're not dumb. That's why you do what you do, right? It's called living in a polite society.
I'm polite.
You're my ass. You get your car sideways over an endangered speed. Doors open. Part of it's on fire. We're talking about this story. It happened on Tuesday in the city. A city employee stepped out of his 2012 Chevy Cruze, city-owned, to check on the lighting in the Dewey Avenue King Kislingberry. Thank you. Street. While he was a short distance away, somebody jumped in the car and took off. Tommy's like, "Well, you should be able to leave your car running because everyone's an area."
A second.
No, like we talked.
Working man.
You're not trying to call yourself a working man.
I wasn't that moment. I'm hustling food for the host.
Hustling food.
I was bagel boy, basically.
You ate half those bagels. I know what you look like. Like, Kimmy, if you drew his blood, it was 37% bagel. 6% lox.
Oh, no, man. Miss those days. Go ahead.
Like, no, I'm sorry. We talked yesterday about, you know, traffic laws that you don't actually know. And one of them that we brought up that everybody knows, but like dicks will completely throw to the wind, is cutting through a parking lot to avoid a stop sign or a streetlight. And you admitted you do that in Pittsford all the time.
Everybody does.
And like that is the perfect, what we're describing here is the perfect measure of what kind of human you are. Because you're right. Parking in front of a place with the car running in a loading zone when no one's there, you're probably not going to get in trouble for that.
Right.
Cutting through a parking lot to avoid having to wait with everybody else, you're probably not going to get in trouble for that. But it makes you a bad person.
Right.
Because it
bad?
Makes, yes.
What, my OJ of parking?
I love, again, we're going to do this thing. I didn't murder anybody. It's the same argument that you can make for why you have to bring your cart back to the cart corral.
And I do.
But that doesn't matter.
So doesn't that even
it
out?
No, it doesn't. No.
Cart corral, bad parking.
Both. The cart corral or the cutting through the parking lot or the loading zone thing, it's not going to have an effect on anybody else's day. But when you refuse to bring your cart back or you cut through that parking lot to avoid waiting with everybody else or you hit that loading zone because, you know, you deserve to be here, it tells me that you don't have respect for other people.
Of course, and
that
I have respect.
No, because you, for some reason, think you're above other people.
I'm not who are running people over to cut through the parking lot.
No, but you have done that.
Bashing baby carriages out of the way.
Your time is not any more important than my time. And you know it too. Like, you're such a prick. And it's not even like. No, like, here's the thing. If you were like. If you were like a doctor or somebody important, you'd still be a dick, but at least you had like something.
Oh, man. I had doctor credentials.
There's no such thing as doctor credentials.
No, yeah, but don't you have like a medical person?
You could have MD plates where you can park and not get tickets.
Oh, nice.
So I thought, like, you know, my wife's a dermatologist. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, all right. She won't get them.
Why?
Oh, can she though?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, she did. Oh. She's an MD. I don't know. She's like, I don't want to. No, I don't need them.
No, but you may need them.
For what? She's a dermatologist.
Well, she does have to work at the hospital sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they have like
skin cancer. No, Come on, man.
But I'm saying, like, you know, it's not like, you know, my wife, she obviously went to medical school, so she knows everything up to it. Yeah. But like, it's, I don't know. In like, there have been so few like legitimate, I have to get there right now emergencies.
Yeah, that's nice to have that in the bank. Well, man. I always take it.
She won't take it.
So let me ask you this.
Sure.
I'm pulling to Wegmans. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes I go there super early right, on a Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. There is nobody in the parking lot. There's maybe 10 cars. Mm-hmm. You know, it's vast,
sure,
right?
Sure, sure.
So they always have those parking spots to say, like, expected mother, picking up an order, or something like that.
Yeah.
I pull into those early in the morning because there's nobody around.
Oh, okay. No, no,
so
no.
So am I a bad person?
No, wait, but hold on. We can answer the question. Are you a bad person? Right. No, I guess it's fine to park in the expected mother or, like, a veteran parking.
No, don't do the veteran.
Oh, I'm sorry. Why?
But here's the thing.
What? No, stop.
Nobody parks
back
in the veteran.
No. Back up.
Oh, my parents did serve.
Back up.
Why? And I was in military.
Why will you park in the expected mother parking, but you won't park in the veteran?
Neither
parking?
I respect them are the for veterans, you.
Even though I did watch all 8 seasons of Band of Brothers, I respect the veterans, and I do not use the veteran parking.
So you don't respect women, but you respect veterans. That's kind of what you're saying.
Yeah, that's exactly
First
what
of all,
you're
there's like 7 expected mothers. How many knocked
not?
Up
there's
mothers
like
are going in at 7 o'clock in the morning?
They can't sleep. They want pie. You ever had a pregnant wife?
And by the way,
a lot of late night, early morning pie runs.
I will say this. A couple extra steps is good for the baby.
Oh.
They say get your steps in when you're pregnant. Mm-hmm. Good for the baby.
Isn't a couple extra steps also good for somebody who deals with like blood clots and stuff too?
I don't know. I think that jury's
isn't that
out
why you like get up and move around every break?
Are we talking about Tommy Klotz? Klotzy Tommy?
I got to stretch my legs.
If you won't park in the veterans parking, but you will park in the expectant mother parking, you've answered your own question.
What is it? What's the answer?
Yeah, you're a dick.
Why?
Just doesn't
there's nobody
just
around.
No, again, it goes back to my point. You are just showing a lack of respect for people that you don't think are important in your life. Everybody?
I would nose her out of it.
Oh,
like
no?
We were both pulling in, and I see a pregnant woman. Yeah. It's all yours.
What if she pulls in right after you, and you're already in the space?
Well, there's a park right next to me.
It's the same argument.
In the place you could have parked.
It's the same argument we've had about taking a dump in the handicap stall. I won't do it because I'm afraid that somebody
needs
it'll
come in. Oh, for God's sake, there's
just
two
never
dumpers.
Know, man.
You never know.
I love that handicap stall. I like the ones with the sink and the mirror. It's like your own little house. They got it made, kind of.
I am horrible.
Kind of. God bless. I know it's tough.
I am horrified that someone will need that when I'm in there. I won't do it.
In the... If you're ever at, like, you know, a concert or, like, a Bills game or something, and there's, like, that line for the bathroom, especially, like, the women's bathroom, like, there's always, like, everybody looks around at each other, like, do we use the handicap stall? But you just never know, because when there's that many people, like, yes, there's a line, and you want to keep it moving, but you also don't want to be the one person that goes in that stall.
But it's not exclusively for handicapped people.
No, I understand, but when there's that many people, the chances are higher that somebody could need it.
But if I got to go, let's say it's packed, right? Yeah. And it's coming.
Sure.
I'm using that, so I'm not dumping it in my pants.
Okay.
Sorry, man.
I understand that. That's fine.
I got to go. And I'm usually, if I'm going to the bathroom for that, it's an... There's no time wasted, especially at my age.
No, I understand that.
I'm a Mississippi mudslide.
I understand that. Oh, down when David was watching it. I'm talking about you walk into a bathroom with three stalls.
Right. Nobody around?
There's the big handicap stall and two smaller ones. Nobody around. You could use the two smaller ones. Which one do you pick?
I go cab.
Okay, so there you go.
Go cab.
So you're a piece of, like, every way you could be a piece of crap in life.
Oh, I'll give you, if you're a capper, quick tipperoo, the JetBlue terminal at JFK, is the new terminal they built, goddamn, they stepped up with cap crapping.
Oh, my cap crap?
Bro, those toilets are amazing.
We have a dynamite.
You're calling out specific restrooms.
Specific handicapped
restrooms.
Hey,
when you get to be my age, toilets are like key. Like, you appreciate a good dumper when you're my age.
Okay.
Hey, listen, enjoy your good, healthy rectum. I don't have one anymore.
You know, normally when something's more expensive, the quality is higher.
Oh, yeah.
It's what we come to expect.
Mm-hmm. Top show.
However, there are some industries where that's not always necessarily the case.
Oh.
The hype is what drives the price up, not the quality. And that has to be the scenario here, because there is no way something that has been in this place for this long could be any good, despite the fact that this thing could be going for six figures a bottle.
$100,000.
You're hanging out at The Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. If you know what place, after 6:45 in CMF, you know what place we never really talk about?
What's that?
The country of Sweden.
Sweden? Let's talk about it's not on anybody's radar.
It is today, buddy.
What's Sweden doing?
Back on July 11th, a scuba team off the coast of Sweden was exploring a 19th century shipwreck when they discovered the ship was full of 100 bottles of champagne.
So from the 1800s?
Yes, you got it.
Damn, but it's got to be ruined.
No, apparently they don't believe. So go ahead, Kimmy, I'm sorry.
No, I mean, I guess if it's probably stayed cold down there, right?
Probably stayed cold.
I mean, that's the key to preserving it, I would
think.
Cold
town, yeah. Sweden's a cold town, bro.
So the scuba team got very excited, and they wanted to go back down and get the bottles of champagne.
Oh, yeah.
It is estimated that if the bottles are still sealed, the champagne could be worth a fortune, and we'll get to what it could actually be worth in a second. Mm. There is just one problem.
What's that problem?
The country of Sweden is saying, no, you're not allowed to go get the bottles.
Yeah, I thought there were, like, rules to, like, bringing stuff up from shipwrecks.
And so the rules are like all over the place.
Yeah.
Right. But Sweden says the shipwreck is a relic, and because of that, no one is allowed to touch it until the end of time, that it is disrespectful to the souls that were lost on that ship. It's pretty much a gravesite. Leave it alone.
Oh, all right.
That has kicked off a court case to determine if people will have the ability to someday drink champagne that was made in the 1870s. And here's my question.
Hmm.
Phone number being 252-WCMF 252-9263. Why would someone want to drink champagne from the 1870s?
I would be afraid. Like, let's say you could get it down, and all of a sudden, hey, it's pretty good. And all of a sudden, you start hallucinating, like you just dropped acid. Well, like, I don't know what that does to you.
Some people would pay more for that.
I know. I understand.
But I thought the most expensive booze in the world is some of, like, the oldest, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, the more it ages, the more expensive and in demand it becomes.
So here's the
unless there's, like, an expiration date on that.
Well, Kimmy, like what you said is true, right? Like the most expensive alcohol does seem to be the oldest alcohol, right?
Wine's the same way.
And that's what we've been told. And I guess it's possible that's the case. The problem with that is you and me and Kimmy and everybody that can hear us right now has never been able to test that theory because all of the booze that's that old is so ridiculously expensive. And the problem with that is it's hard to trust the people who have had that stuff, because if you spend $50,000 on a bottle of champagne, there is no way you're going to taste it and go like, this sucks.
Right. Because you don't want to look like an idiot.
Exactly. On top of that, we also have several cases of, the wine testers. They're called sommeliers.
Okay.
They dedicate their lives
to the
wine and what it tastes like, right?
Their knowledge. They go to school.
They do, and they spend years perfecting their craft. Even the best sommeliers in the world have been fooled by outside circumstances where it's been super cheap wine that they try, and they're like, oh, this is amazing.
Is that bottle with the kangaroo on it?
Yeah, you got it. I mean, and not to mention, it's been underwater, 190 feet of water, for 150 years.
Yeah. You would think the cork would have rotted out, right? And this would have been ruined.
Yeah, it's still good. Mm-hmm. Still all sealed in there.
Well, I mean, the cork goes bad if it dries out, so I guess it wouldn't have
dried out. You think, Tommy, it would have dried out inside the underwater ship?
No, I just thought, like, the salt water would have just eaten away at everything.
I don't know.
Yeah, the other funny thing here is you don't even know if it's good champagne for the time.
Oh, that's true.
That could have been the kangaroo bottle of champagne equivalent of the 1850s, right? And they must have improved champagne making technique since the 1860s, 70s.
Right? I just assume they've always made it the same way.
You don't think that they've improved on the technique in 150 years?
Maybe a little bit, but would it make that much of a difference? I mean, it's the same basic process.
What other technology has been exactly the same since the 1860s?
I would say whiskey is made the same way they made it 200 years ago.
There's
no way! The actual process of it. I mean, the equipment is probably better, but what you actually have to do to make the whiskey would be the same, be like anything else.
Okay, but yes, the little tweaks in the process are updates in technology.
Right, but I don't know if that makes it any better or any worse.
Well, I don't know. Like, if you walked into a saloon in the Old West and had a shot of whiskey, would that be the same? Would it taste the same as the whiskey you have now? I'm going to guess no.
I'm guessing that whiskey tasted better.
You're falling for it.
No, I'm going to tell you why.
Why? Let me tell you why.
No chemicals, no preservatives back then. Yeah. So you got a more natural, organic whiskey. I'm going to say that whatever was happening back then was more organic. Because they didn't have all that technology and all that chemical crap they pour in there.
But what makes you think...
There's no pesticides.
But what makes you think that tastes better? You've never had it.
So you think I really have a good taste for... I'm going to miss the pesticides?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you are 5'5". Right? Did that have your dad's 6 foot, your brother's a 6 foot, you're 5'5". Yeah, I feel like you are a pro-pesticides guy. I just find it weird because you're doing exactly what I just said.
But it's also rare. That's the other thing you got to remember, too. It's rare.
Okay, rare can also suck.
It could, but it's still rare sucking. It's
rare sucking so rare. Sorry.
So it does say the process for making champagne has changed over time, but like the original principles and ingredients are the same.
Right.
It says like in the 1800s, they still made it with high quality grapes. And they aged it the same way.
But again, what's a high quality grape in the 1800s compared to now?
One that hasn't been, you know, stomped on by a horse.
No, you would need to do that to make the champagne. 252 WCMF. We're talking about this shipwreck in Sweden because if there's one thing we in the break room bring you, it's breaking Swedish news. Scuba divers were exploring it in early July when they discovered nearly 100 bottles of champagne still all contained together.
Yeah.
On board. They wanted to go back down and get them and sell them. The country of Sweden said, no, the shipwreck is a relic. It is a gravesite. You cannot touch them. And now there is a massive court case because these people want to sell the champagne. And the reason they want to sell the champagne, Tommy, this is not the first time shipwreck champagne has showed up. Back in back in 2015. 180 bottles of French champagne.
Ooh, that's the good stuff.
That was 170 years old.
God damn.
Was brought up from a shipwreck in the Baltic Sea. It was believed that the champagne was headed towards a royal family.
Probably going to Jesus' house or something.
Yeah, from 170 years ago.
Yeah, it's on me, way back. Yeah.
Scientists got to test some of the champagne.
And?
They got to taste some of the champagne. And at the time of the wreck, it was some of the most expensive champagne in the world.
Mm.
Experts who tasted the champagne used words like animal notes, wet hair, cheesy, and leathery to describe the champagne they tasted. But despite that...
You sure they weren't tasting your mom? Little cheesy. Little hairy.
But despite that, experts who tasted the champagne said it was the best champagne they ever had.
So they're lying their asses off.
Which caused the prices to skyrocket. All right. Tommy, several of those bottles of champagne that were described as cheesy, leathery, having wet hair and animal notes sold for over $100,000 per bottle.
That's insane.
Per bottle. But you're an idiot who, like, if some guy had a bottle of whiskey that was on a shipwreck from, you know, 1840, you would try it and be like, no matter what it tastes like, you would be like, this is the best whiskey I've ever had.
So, but would you even try it? Like, if somebody walked in here and they said they got a bottle of whatever we like to that equivalent, and you wouldn't want to taste it?
I'd be too afraid.
No, I mean, you're not going to swig it, but you just put it on your lips for a minute.
So there's a theory... Because people love to fantasize about time travel, right? And how time travel would work. And there's a theory from scientists that say you could never time travel even as far back as like 100 years ago because you wouldn't be able to eat because your body cannot handle what those people ate and drank back
pesticides.
In the day. Well, no, you idiot. It's like, think about the food safety from 100 years
ago
compared to now.
Well, everybody had dirty hands, too.
And not only that, what the quality of food was compared to what it is now.
So we couldn't digest it.
Yeah, exactly. My fear would be if I tried some of that whiskey, it's going to like do a number on my body and F me up.
Nah, you'll be fine. You just a little... I gotta try it.
Okay, well, I mean, you don't have much to live for anymore, and you've had a good run, so...
I've had a very good run.
I say go for it. Kimmy, would you try alcohol from the 1850s?
I really don't have any interest in it. I think my mind won't let me enjoy it. Just knowing how old it is, it kind of freaks me out.
I mean, just the history of it's pretty amazing.
No, I mean,
it'd be cool to see like the bottle and stuff. I'd be curious to watch other people's reactions to it, but I don't think I'd want to be the tester for it.
Like, especially if that bottle is connected to a piece of history, I definitely want to taste it. Like, let's say they found Churchill, big alcoholic,
Churchill,
right? And he drank all day long. If they said, like, this bottle of whiskey is from, they found this in Churchill's house.
Okay, but that would have been 80 years ago. 80 years, I think, is okay.
All right.
When we hit the triple digits, I'm out.
All right.
So, like, Napoleon champagne, I don't want.
It's Napoleon, man. Yeah. You're top Frenchman.
Again, look how short he was. Look how short you are.
And he got a lot done until he screwed up when he went north.
I was in a bar, God, like 4 or 5 years ago. And this place was an old hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And they found a bottle of whiskey when they were renovating the hotel that was made specifically for the hotel from the 1920s. It was pre-prohibition, or before the 1920s. And they had it on the bar, and they were selling it for like $200 a shot.
Yeah.
And nobody had opened it.
And?
No, I'm not doing it. I'm spending $200 a shot. But the point I'm making is, like, you know, everyone that walked in, the guy would point out this bottle. It was, like, under glass, and it had lights on it. And it wasn't that kind of place. They were just proud to show it off.
Yeah, no kidding.
Everyone was like, wow, that's interesting. And the bottle just sat there continuing.
No, but you should have tried it, man. It probably had hints of formaldehyde. Like, you ever see, like, the guys that worked in those distilleries back then? They all looked like they were starving to death.
They were starving to death.
Like the old Jack Daniels number 7. I ain't hitting a month, man. I'm full of worms and rickets.
Like, bro, there's a decent chance that in these bottles of champagne and whiskey, there's an 8-year-old's finger. Like, things weren't great back then.
That kid was working there. That was a working 8-year-old. That's what 8-year-olds wanted to work.
By the way, if the finger shows up in the shot, you have to swallow
it. Oh, yeah. It's like swallowing a worm with the fancy tequila.
You know, the act of actually doing this is not all that dangerous.
Mm.
Simple idea that most people can pull off.
Right.
It's the stuff around it that can cause things to get bad quick.
Oh.
But despite the fact that you or I or most people don't know the rules of being out on this body of water, you and me and Kimmy and everybody listening are now able to take our phones, go boop, and jump right in.
Damn.
You hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Tommy?
Yeah, buddy.
How'd you like to go kayaking?
Kayaking.
You've been able to rent kayaks for years from stands around the greater Rochester area. But now, it is way easier. There is a company called Rent.Fun that is connected with the folks out in Brockport.
So what do I do?
You can rent a kayak with your phone.
All right.
You scan the QR code. You pay for the kayak. You sign a waiver, and in like 60 seconds, you are out on the water in the canal.
You paddling.
Doing your thing.
All right.
So this company, Rent.Fun, has been wildly successful in other communities around the country. They have 150 locations across the U.S.
Wow.
And folks are very excited that $25 gets you 2 hours on the water with
a quality kayak.
That's,
okay. But there could be some problems here.
Yeah, not the most stable boat. Let's just start with that.
Okay.
Just in general.
Tough to balance.
Yeah, they tend to capsize.
Have you ever kayaked?
No, because I don't think I could get in one with my back.
Yeah, you can't sit here and say, "Ooh, what are we doing? What's wrong with kayak?" You've never been in a kayak.
I've been in a canoe, which is also quite dangerous.
It's a little different.
Yeah.
It's also very tippable.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Didn't they call that guy Tippy Canoe? The guy to rent for Congress?
Have you ever been in a kayak before?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your ass ain't never been in a kayak.
Oh, I've been in a kayak.
You're too big for a kayak.
I liked kayaking. Not enough to go buy my own kayak.
Wait, you were a fat kayaker?
It was one of those things where I went out thinking, like, this will be fun. And then, like, you're kind of good after an hour.
Yeah,
like, this is fun.
I made it half an hour.
Well, but you usually rent it for, like, 2 hour increments. And, like, I remember my husband and I were like, can I go back?
Wait, he got
now?
In there? His big
yeah,
ass?
Yeah, we both did it.
Yeah. It's not as hard as you think.
There's not enough draft for him.
I guess what I'm asking, and the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Does anyone in this room know the rules of kayak?
Because you don't have to be licensed for anything.
No. And I don't. When I say rules, I don't mean like how to get in the water to use or to get around. I mean like what are the rules when I come across other vessels in the water?
The right of way.
I've never done it on like in a tight space like a canal. You know, like the canal, I would think you really have to pay attention to the rules.
Thank you. Because like the canal is used by all kinds of boats,
right? And you had to be on the right side of the waterway.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
you go right.
Well, I don't know.
Okay, so but why like, did you say that?
But there's a correct way, like when you
to pass and stuff.
Like when you see those markers out there and stuff,
yeah.
You have to be on one side. I don't know what side you're supposed to be on, but there are rules of navigation when you do these things.
That's what I mean. Like,
and if you're just dumb paddling, you dead.
Like, you're going to trust people who have potentially never been on the water.
You're going to get propped.
Exactly. Know what to do. Like, it seems super dangerous, especially when there is, I don't need a second of training to rent one of these kayaks to get out on the water. And what makes it more alarming is not only is it boats of all sizes, it's in a super tight area.
Yeah.
The Erie effing canal.
So you got the Sand Patch, that queen of the canal, that big fat boat.
The one that's in Fairport all the time?
I don't know. Yeah. The big fatty.
Yeah.
But then you got everything else that's in the canal.
Exactly. Right? Like, if I make a mistake coming up on one of those giant tour boats, it's not like that can throw on the brakes and keep from hitting me or doing something terrible to me, right?
I'll be like, if you look over, don't pay attention to that, folks. Anyway, if you look over here in 1872.
How is this allowed?
I don't know. And it's amazing because you do need, if I want to fish in that canal, I need a license.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But to put a kayak in where I could kill myself. Or kill somebody else. Go ahead. Get out of here. Go have some fun.
Unless there's something we're missing. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. And don't get me wrong. The basic idea of being able to rent a canoe with your phone out in Brockport and put it in the water, that's a good thing. It gives everyone access to the canal. It encourages people to be active. It's a fun, unique way for people to try something new. But when we see the few stories every year of something going wrong in the canal...
Yeah.
It does seem strange that you would then turn around and just encourage people with no experience to jump in and let's see what happens.
Like, because nobody even regulates how many boats are in that canal at a time.
Are we sure?
Who would know? Like, anybody can, drive up in Pittsburgh, right? Because I've seen them do it. Yeah, they got a couple of kayaks up, right?
Oh, you mean kayak-wise, yes.
Right, so they just grab a couple of kayaks.
Sure.
And go out there. And, so, like, nobody's even regulating how many kayaks are in the water at once, and nobody's watching any of this.
Yeah. Do they have patrols? Like, does the sheriff patrol the canal?
I mean, you see them on horseback occasionally, but they're not.
Does the horse swim?
Slag down the boater?
The only authority out there would be a sheriff, and they're mostly checking out the people in the canal.
You say that. I've never noticed like an official boat.
There's no harbor master of the canal.
No, what I mean, I'll admit, I don't spend a lot of time on the canal. Yeah. You do every day. Are there sheriff's boats that go up and down the canal?
I've never seen one.
I mean, if you want to talk about sheriffs that are working the side of the canal, I know one of those guys really well. That guy ain't jumping in the water. He's too dense to swim. And by the way, if his spiky hair got near your kayak, there's a hole in that thing right
up. God damn it.
Now you're going down.
Lance, dead ahead.
252-WCMF. A company called Rent.Fun is now giving people out in Brockport the opportunity to use their phones, walk up to this kiosk where they have kayaks that you can rent. Boop, you scan your phone for $25. You get 2 hours on the water. In 60 seconds, you are in that kayak having fun.
You yakking.
And it's insane that people that have no training in the water, don't know what the rules are when it comes to coming up on other vessels, are allowed to do this. And by the way, it's not just the boats either.
What else you got?
There are unique features to the canal that even experienced boaters on other bodies of water could be confused by.
Like what?
So, like, if I have this for 2 hours, the kayak, right? Like, that means, in theory, I could kayak for an hour one way and then just kayak back.
Yeah.
How close is the nearest lock to Brockport?
Oh, I don't know.
What do you do when you get to a lock?
Well, you either... I guess you could go in it and keep going.
Could you?
But you'd have to wait till it... does its thing.
Would it put me in? Would the guy be like, okay, son, come on through? Or would they take a crap in a hat?
I don't know.
Like, what is how big? Could anybody use the locks?
Yeah, it's a good question.
The locks just operate on a time schedule. You wait till
Oh, no, there's people in the locks.
What?
There's people that operate the locks.
I understand, but they only go up and down at a certain time.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
How do you know?
Because they have to because it takes time to fill that water up and let them go.
Of all the information we got on the Erie Canal, they missed that part.
Yeah, I can sing you the whole song.
But you didn't get to my Erie Canal. You have to wait till the waters rise, and you got to. No, like you have to wait.
Why are you believing him based on everything he's ever said?
I watch these canals all the time.
I don't know what the answer is.
You walk the canal. Where do you go? You walk up to the lock master.
I talk to the lock tiller.
Pardon me, sir. What's the water level in the lock right now?
Pretty high, son.
Yeah, because I bet you there are people that kayak a significant length of the canal just way. There are people that bike the canal, and you know. So I would imagine people have done this before.
So you just like sit in the lock while it like goes up and down?
Yeah, you're going to have to wait. They'll let you in. They fill it up, and then you screw.
Okay.
You've never been in a lock?
No, I've never taken a boat on the canal.
No.
You've never taken a tour of the canal?
Well, I've walked it. I've never been in the water.
Oh, you didn't do that in school? They didn't bring it with, like, they were they, like, kind of, it made it look like the donkeys were pulling it, but they weren't.
I told you that I went to Gates and we had the worst.
I thought, like, every kid on the West Side went to that one. It started in, like, Spencerport, I think.
Never. It's got
to
be the most busted field trip you could do. Like, you could, that school district couldn't even afford that.
The most exciting field trip I went on when I was in Gates was a trip to the Dolomite Quarry. It's a big hole in the ground.
Yeah, I know what it is.
that was about, oh, wow, a trilobite. Pretty cool. Wow, another trilobite. Guys, look at all these trilobites down here. No, yeah, I've never been on the canal in a boat.
Okay.
I bet you that's a lot of people in Rochester.
No, I don't.
I don't think that.
I mean, you're not. You. The poorest kid has been to the canal.
No, well, I've been to the canal.
I've seen when they bring the poor children to the canal.
Bro, like, you live in Pittsburgh.
Look at those poor children. They call this a lock.
You live in Pittsburgh where it's just easy to jump on any high-end. Oh, it's $55 and it includes unlimited champagne for an evening ride on the canal on the Sam Patch or the Steve Douche or whatever the hell.
Steve Douche.
Like, there's the most places don't have access like that to the canal.
But you can walk up and look at it.
Okay, yeah, I don't know what.
All right.
I've never been in the canal. What do you want from me? I'm going to say 70% of Rochesterians have never been in the canal.
No.
Yeah.
Come on, just a high school,
high school. High school.
What's lower than high?
Middle school. Junior high school.
I don't know. Low school.
252 WCMF, 252-9263. We're talking kayaking in the canal. Canal yakking.
Yeah.
Nick's on CMF. Hey, Nick, how are you, buddy? Oh, Kimmy, can you get me Nick? I'm sorry. Hey, Nick, my fault, buddy. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man.
Yeah, there are people that run the locks, and you can go through them in a canoe or a kayak.
Have you done this before, Nick?
I haven't, but my buddy has. He hiked, like, the whole New York State footpath, and then he finished it in a canoe, and he had to go through the locks on the way back.
Okay, because, Nick, you have kayak voice.
Oh, he has total kayak voice.
Dude, gone kayaking this weekend, bro.
No, like, bro,
he's got a faded ball cap with some kind of weird logo on it.
There's one Grateful Dead skeleton patch on the side of it.
Nick, he only sits in Adirondack chairs.
Now. You're calling me out.
Did we nail it, Nick?
Yeah, dead on.
Did you say he only sits in Adirondack chairs? All right, Nick, are you a yakker yourself?
A little bit.
Okay, all right. And have you yacked on the canal?
Yes, I have.
Okay. I mean, like, it seems intimidating when you're coming up on bigger craft in that tight little space.
I don't know. I feel like you're freaking out, man. Just get out of the way. Like,
oh, good call. Thanks, bro. All right.
No, but there's, like, to your point, there's, like, big cabin cruisers and stuff that go through that canal that I would be afraid that is that dude seeing me?
I'm with you.
Because it's tight.
But Nick here, man, he's got no time for it. He's got to get to the further show. So get out of my way, bro. Here I come. Nick, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day.
He's got kayak voice.
Bro, he had ultimate kayak
voice.
Totally,
dude.
He's yak speaking.
Yeah.
Let's take one more call.
All right.
252-WCMF, 254. We're not going to have time for Aaron. But he says, Kimmy takes a phone call and she writes like a quick synopsis, right? Aaron, I'm sorry, Aaron, we can't take it, but his synopsis is, I swam in the canal once and I hurt my back. Tommy just shared with us, Aaron, I'm sorry we don't have time. I got to talk to Dave because Tommy just shared with us that the locks are operated on a timer.
I mean, they don't.
No, you just said, you look me in the face, you go, you're on a timer.
You said it very confidently.
Yeah. Dave is on CMF. Hey, Dave, how are you, buddy?
Good, guys. The locks don't run on a time thing. They have somebody that works on the locks. Boats come in, and if they can get more than one in there, they do it. They raise up 25 feet, move them out the other side or down the other direction.
On a timer.
You're so dumb. You were so, not only were you confident.
They set the timer and then they go.
You were getting like mad at us for asking question. Why would you know
that? It's Ron Popeil's set it and forget it lock system you could buy.
No idea who that is.
You don't know who Ron Popeil
is. Why would you know who Ron Popeil
is? He was Mr. TV before after Carson.
Say that again and ask why Kimmy would know who that is?
What did it happen to America that I grew up in?
Dave, thank you for the non-timer lock information.
No problem.
There goes Dave. Why do you say things that you have no idea? You just make stuff up and get mad when we question you. You're insane. You're an insane person.
I thought I saw a timer.
Where?
On the side of the lock.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, it was ticking.
Take a break. You know, the act of actually doing this is not all that dangerous.
Mm.
Simple idea that most people can pull off.
Right.
It's the stuff around it that can cause things to get bad quick.
Oh.
But despite the fact that you or I or most people don't know the rules of being out on this body of water,
yeah,
you and me and Kimmy and everybody listening are now able to take our phones, yeah, go boop,
okay,
and jump right in.
Damn.
You hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. Tommy?
Yeah, buddy.
How'd you like to go kayaking?
Kayaking.
You've been able to rent kayaks for years from stands around the greater Rochester, yeah, area. But right now,
okay,
it is way easier. There is a company called Rent.Fun that is connected with the folks out in Brockport.
So what do I do?
You can rent a kayak with your phone.
All right.
You scan the QR code. You pay for the kayak. You sign a waiver. And in like 60 seconds, you are out on the water in the canal.
You paddling.
Doing your thing.
All right.
So this company, Rent.Fun, has been wildly successful in other communities around the country. They have 150 locations across the U.S.
Wow.
And folks are very excited that $25 gets you 2 hours on the water with
a kayak.
That's
a quality kayak.
That's, yeah.
Okay. But there could be some problems here.
Yeah, not the most stable boat. Let's just start with that.
Okay.
Just in general.
Tough to balance.
Yeah, they tend to capsize.
Have you ever kayaked?
No, because I don't think I could get in with my back.
Yeah, you can't sit here and say, "Ooh, let me tell you what's on kite." You've never been in a kayak.
I've been in a canoe, which is also quite dangerous.
That's a little different.
Yeah. It's also very tippable.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Did they call that guy Tippy Canoe? The guy to run for Congress?
Have you ever been in a kayak before?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your ass ain't never been in a kayak.
Oh, I've been in a kayak. Yeah.
You're too big for a kayak.
I liked kayaking. Not enough to go buy my own kayak.
But you were a fat kayaker.
It was one of those things where, yeah, I went out thinking, like, this will be fun. And then, like, you're kind of good after an hour.
Yeah,
like, this
hour
is fun.
I made it half an hour.
Well, but you
it's
usually rent it for, like, 2 hour increments. And, like, I remember my husband and I were like,
wait,
go back.
Wait, he got
now
in there? His big,
yeah,
ass?
Yeah, we both did it.
Yeah. It's not as hard as you think.
There's not enough, yeah, draft for him.
I guess what I'm asking, and the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Does anyone in this room know the rules of kayaking?
Because you don't have to be licensed for anything.
No. And I don't. When I say rules, I don't mean like how to get in the water to use your oar to get around. I mean like what are the rules when I come across other vessels in,
yeah,
the water?
The right of way.
I've never done it on like in a tight space, like a canal. You know, like the canal, I would think you really have to pay attention to the rules.
Thank you. Because like the canal is used by all kinds of boats.
Right, and you had to be on the right side. Mm-hmm.
See,
of the waterway.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
You go right?
Well, I don't know.
Okay, so
but
why like, did you say that?
But there's a correct way, like, when you...
To pass and stuff.
Like, when you see those markers out there and stuff,
yeah,
you have to be on one side. I don't know what side you're supposed to be on, but there are rules of navigation when you do these things.
That's what I mean. Like,
if you're just dumb paddling, you're dead.
Like, you're going to trust people who have potentially never been on the water.
You're going
to
get propped.
Exactly. Know what to do. Like, it seems super dangerous, especially when there is... I don't need a second of training to rent one of these kayaks to get out on the water. And what makes it more alarming is not only is it boats of all sizes, it's in a super tight area.
Yeah.
The Erie effing canal.
So you got the Sam Patch, that queen of the canal, that big fat boat.
The
that
one that's in Fairport all the time?
I don't know. Yeah. That big fatty.
Yeah.
But then you got everything else that's in the canal.
Exactly. Right? Like, if I make a mistake coming up on one of those giant tour boats,
yeah,
it's not like that can throw on the brakes and keep from hitting me or doing something terrible to me, right?
I'll be like, if you look over, don't pay attention to that, folks. Anyway, if you look over here in 1872.
How is this allowed?
I don't know. And it's amazing because you do need, if I want to fish in that canal, I need a license.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But to put a kayak in where I could kill myself... Or kill somebody else. Go ahead. Get out of here. Go have some fun.
Unless there's something we're missing. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. And don't get me wrong. The basic idea of being able to rent a canoe with your phone out in Brockport and put it in the water, that's a good thing. It gives everyone access to the canal. It encourages people to be active. It's a fun, unique way for people to try something new. But when we see the few stories every year of something going wrong in the canal...
Yeah.
It does seem strange that you would then turn around and just encourage people with no experience to jump in and let's see what happens.
Like, because nobody even regulates how many boats are in that canal at a time.
Are we sure?
Who would know? Like, anybody can, like, so anybody can walk, drive up in Pittsburgh, right? Because I've seen them do it. You know, they got a couple of kayaks up, right?
Oh, you mean kayak-wise, yes.
Right, so they just grab a couple of kayaks.
Sure.
And go out there and go. So, like, nobody's even regulating how many kayaks are in the water at once, and nobody's watching any of this.
Yeah. Do they have patrols? Like, does the sheriff patrol the canal?
I mean, you see them on horseback occasionally, but they're not.
Does the horse swim?
Flag down the boater?
The only authority out there would be a sheriff, and they're mostly checking out the people on the canal.
I say that. I've never noticed like an official boat.
There's no harbor master of the canal.
No, what I mean, I'll admit, I don't spend a lot of time on the canal. Yeah. You do every day. Are there sheriff boats that go up and down the canal?
I've never seen one.
I mean, if you want to talk about sheriffs that are working the side of the canal, I know one of those guys really well. That guy ain't jumping in the water. He's too dense to swim. And by the way, if his spiky hair got near your kayak, there's a hole in that thing right
up. God damn it.
Now you're going down.
Lance, dead ahead.
252 WCMF. A company called Rent.Fun is now giving people out in Brockport the opportunity to use their phones, walk up to this kiosk where they have kayaks that you can rent. Boop, you scan your phone for $25. You get 2 hours on the water. In 60 seconds, you are in that kayak having fun.
You yakking.
And it's insane that people that have no training in the water, don't know what the rules are when it comes to coming up on other vessels, are allowed to do this. And by the way, it's not just the boats either.
What else you got?
There are unique features to the canal that even experienced boaters on other bodies of water could be confused by.
Like what?
So, like, if I have this for 2 hours, the kayak, right? Like, that means, in theory, I could kayak for an hour one way and then just kayak back.
Yeah.
How close is the nearest lock to Brockport?
Oh, I don't know.
What do you do when you get to a lock?
Well, I guess you could go in it and keep going.
Could you?
But you'd have to wait till it does its thing.
Would it put me in? Would the guy be like, okay, son, come on through? Or would they tell me to go take a crap in a hat?
I don't know.
Like, what is how big? Could anybody use the locks?
Yeah, it's a good question.
The locks just operate on a time schedule. You wait till it...
Oh, no, there's people in the locks.
What?
There's people that operate the locks.
I understand, but they only go up and down at a certain time.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
How do you know?
Because they have to rig it, because it takes time to fill that water up and let them go.
Of all the information we got on the Erie Canal, they missed that part.
Yeah, I can sing you the whole song.
But you didn't get to my Erie Canal. You have to wait till the waters rise. And you got to you have to wait.
Why are you believing him based on everything he's ever said?
I watch these canals all the time.
I don't know what the answer is.
You walk the canal. Where do you go? You walk up to the lock master.
I talked to the lock tiller.
Pardon me, sir. What's the water level in the lock right now?
Pretty high, son.
Yeah, because I bet you there are people that kayak a significant length of the canal just way. There are people that bike the canal and, So I would imagine people have done this before.
So you just sit in the lock while it goes up and down?
Yeah, you're going to have to wait. They'll let you in. They fill it up, and then you screw.
Okay.
You've never been in a lock?
No, I've never been. I've never taken a boat on the canal.
No?
You've never taken a tour of the canal?
Well, I've walked it. I've never been in the water.
Oh, you didn't do that in school? They didn't bring you with it made it look like the donkeys were pulling it, but they weren't.
I told you that I went to Gates and we had the worst.
I thought kid on the West Side went to that one. Started in Spencerport, I think.
Never.
It's got to be the most busted field trip you could do. That school district couldn't even afford that.
The most exciting field trip I went on when I was in Gates was a trip to the Dolomite Quarry. It's a big hole in the ground.
Yeah, I know what it is.
Oh, wow, a trilobite. Pretty cool. Wow, another trilobite. Guys, look at all these trilobites down here. No, yeah, I've never been on the canal in a boat.
Okay.
I bet you that's a lot of people in Rochester.
No, I don't.
I don't think that.
I mean, you're not. The poorest kid has been to the canal.
No, well, I've been to the canal.
Bring the poor children to the canal.
Bro, you live in Pittsburgh.
Look at those poor children. They call this a lock.
You live in Pittsburgh where it's just easy to jump on any high-end. Oh, it's $55 and it includes unlimited champagne for an evening ride on the canal on the Sam Patch or the Steve Douche or whatever the hell. There's the most places don't have access like that to the canal.
But you can walk up and look at it.
Okay, yeah, I don't know what.
All right.
I've never been in the canal. What do you want from me? I'm going to say 70% of Rochesterians have never been in the canal.
No.
Yeah.
Come on, just a high school, high school, that high school. What's lower than high school?
Middle school. Junior high school?
I don't know, low school.
252 WCMF, 252-9263. We're talking kayaking in the canal yakking.
Yeah.
Nick's on CMF. Hey, Nick, how are you, buddy? Oh, Kimmy, can you get me Nick? I'm sorry. Hey, Nick, my fault, buddy. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man.
There are people that run the locks, and you can go through them in a canoe or a kayak.
Have you done this before, Nick?
I haven't, but my buddy has. He hiked like the whole New York State footpath, and then he finished it in a canoe, and he had to go through the locks on the way back.
Okay, because Nick, you have kayak voice.
Oh, he has total kayak voice.
Dude, going kayaking this weekend,
bro. No, like, bro, you
know, he's got a faded ball cap with some kind of weird logo on it.
There's one Grateful Dead skeleton patch on the side of it.
Nick, he only sits in Adirondack chairs.
Now you're calling me out.
Did we nail it, Nick?
Yeah, dead on.
Did you say he only sits in Adirondack chairs? All right, Nick, are you a yakker yourself?
A little bit.
Okay, all right. And have you yakked on the canal?
Yes, I have.
Okay. I mean, like, it seems intimidating when you're coming up on bigger craft in that tight little space.
I don't know. I feel like you're freaking out, man. Just get out of the way. Like,
oh, good call. Thanks, bro. All right.
No, but there's like, to your point, there's like big cabin cruisers and stuff that go through that canal that I would be afraid of. Is that dude seeing me?
I'm with you.
Because it's tight.
But Nick here, man, he's got no time for it. He's got to get to the further show. So get out of my way, bro. Here I come. Nick, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day.
He's got kayak voice.
Bro, he had ultimate kayak
voice. Totally, dude.
He's yak speaking.
Yeah.
Let's take one more call.
All right.
252-WCMF. We're not going to have time for Aaron. But he says, Aaron, Kimmy takes a phone call and she writes like a quick synopsis, right? Aaron, I'm sorry, Aaron, we can't take it, but his synopsis is, I swam in the canal once and I hurt my back. Tommy just shared with us, Aaron, I'm sorry we don't have time. I got to talk to Dave because Tommy just shared with us that the locks are operated on a timer.
I mean, they don't.
No, you just said, you look me in the face, you go, you're on a timer.
You said it very confidently.
Yeah. Dave is on CMF. Hey, Dave, how are you, buddy?
Good, guys. The locks don't run on a time thing. They have somebody that works on the locks. Boats come in, and if they can get more than one in there, they do it. They raise up 25 feet, move them out the other side or down the other direction.
On a timer.
So dumb. You were so, not only were you confident.
They set the timer, and then they go.
You were getting mad at us for asking question. Why would you know?
It's that Ron Popeil set it and forget it lock system you could buy.
No idea who that is.
You don't know who Ron Popeil is.
Why would you know who Ron Popeil is?
He was Mr. TV before after Carson.
Say that again and ask why Kimmy would know who that is.
What did it happen to America that I grew up in?
Dave, thank you for the non-timer lock information.
No problem.
There goes Dave. Why do you say things that you have no idea? You just make stuff up and get mad when we question you. You're insane. You're an insane person.
I thought I saw a timer.
Where?
On the side of the lock.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, it was ticking.
Take a break.